Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Call Kaya Biz
with Kugune Tomfupi
on 086-000-00959.
Kaya959.
It's exactly 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. I'm joined in studio for the special conversation with Dr. Hosientso Ramakgopa, who joins us as the Minister of Electricity in the Republic of South Africa. Such a pleasure to see you, sir.
Oh, yes. Evening, Gooks. Thank you very much for the invitation and good evening to the listeners of Kaya.
Fantastic. It's a real delight to have you with us. And I can imagine, as you can tell, the bright studios are on, bright lights are on in the studio, which means something is working and going right. And I can imagine over the last few days you've had to respond to this question, but help us understand, 40 days plus without load shedding, it's a great delight for us as South Africans. What are we doing right here?
Well, this can be traced back to the unveiling of the Energy Action Plan, which is a comprehensive articulation of our response to the energy crisis in the country. Mm-hmm. And what that Energy Action Plan does, it identifies five outcomes. The first one is fixing Eskom, which really is an outcome that gives us the quickest path to the resolution of load shedding, because we have got an installed fleet of Eskom units that are underperforming. So there's a need for us to sweat the assets so that we're able to get the necessary megawatts. And we knew that if we were to aggressively embark on a maintenance program that's properly orchestrated, thought out, we are likely going to extract life out of these units. Because I think, these units are designed to give you the megawatts for a period of 50 years. And a lot of them are mid-age, about 35 years. So they still have about 15 years in them to continue to give the kind of megawatts necessary to support the demand. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was on accelerating private sector investments. Yes. We know now, as I speak to you, Googs, that there's about 66 gigawatts of renewable energy projects at various stages of the project life cycle that are private sector sponsored. And that's also on the back of the reforms that government has introduced, the elimination of the requirement for licensing with NERSA for purposes of new generation. So if you want to do embedded generation behind the meter, you want to generate at the utility scale, you don't have to register.
Yes.
You don't have to get licensed by NERSA. You can simply be registered. And that's why you see this growth. The third one was public procurement of renewable energy and sources from wind and solar in particular, what you call the big windows. They had to be accelerated. Minister Mantashe now has issued bid window number 7. Of course, there are inherent limitations there as a result of transmission. The fourth one was accelerating rooftop solar solution by both the private sector and households. And the state introduced incentives, National Treasury.
That has since gone away, though.
Oh yes. And one of the things we're advocating for is that let's continue with that. And perhaps if time permits, I'll share one or two things.
Sure.
And then the last one is to undermine the vertical integration of Eskom, introduced the three companies, of course, the transmission one up and running in July. And I must emphasize that the Eskom is a sole shareholder, and by definition, the people of South Africa own that subsidiary of Eskom, so it still remains an SOE. That was unveiled in 2002, and then the president gave it additional impetus by appointing someone in his office who will be transfixed on the resolution of this problem on the back of the Energy Action Plan. And that's how my role was introduced. And I have said consistently that my relationship with the South African people will be robust, transparent, and I'm going to be accountable. And that's why every other week we go and update the country. I had said previously that we are going to go into an aggressive maintenance because we have received 254 billion rand of fiscal injection. I mean, Cooks, just to give you a sense, when we went into December, January, we reached the peak of planned maintenance. For the first time in 3 years, we took out 18% of our installed capacity, 9,000 megawatts, out on planned maintenance. Those units are coming back, and that's why you're beginning to see see the changes that you are seeing. So what's the point I'm making is that the performance you are seeing is on the back of an orchestrated response that is in the energy action plan. And that's why we kept the country abreast about the movements that we are seeing. We had strategic significant setbacks. We understood this approach we're taking of an aggressive maintenance-led recovery has got its own inherent risk. The inherent risk is that if you take as many megawatts as we did out for planned maintenance, it means that you are limiting, the headspace necessary to accommodate any failure of the cluster of units.
Oh, yes.
So if there's a failure of cluster of units, the only instrument you have at your disposal is the intensification of load shedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we did experience that when we reached stage six. And I said to the country, this is a short-term pain. We know what we are doing. Please believe us. And I do understand the anger, the impatience, and all of that.
Sure.
But it's bearing fruit as I speak to you.
It certainly is bearing fruit, Minister. And I can imagine, of course, many South Africans have been asking the question around the sustainability of these efforts. And we also ask because we're heading into a colder season and time of the year. And of course, with increased maintenance, you do need to be mindful of, making sure that the generated power continues to be distributed effectively, especially when it comes to municipalities. So help us understand how you're planning to maintain this progress, especially over the short to medium term.
So like I said, this is an orchestrated plan. So when we're at the height of planned maintenance, is that it's at the period when we had the lowest demand.
Mm-hmm.
So factories were closed during the period of December into January, early January. And that's why you can afford to take out those units.
Mm-hmm.
And then you plan them in a manner that the period that they are out of maintenance is such that it allows us to retain them when we are going to reach peak demand period. What is that peak demand period? We're anticipating it historically July and August.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to about 33,000 megawatts. So today, as I speak to you, we're generating about 30,000 megawatts. The peak demand is about 27,000 megawatts. We have got a surplus there of 3,000 megawatts, but we have about 6,000 megawatts that are out on planned maintenance. We are going to retain that. So when we enter into the winter period, if you look at the winter of last year, we took out 2,500 on planned maintenance. So if you work on the 6,000 and then we keep to that 2,500 planned maintenance,
mm-hmm.
it means between now and the peak of demand, would have retained an additional 3,500 megawatts. So there's a correlation between the rate at which you retain the units and your anticipated peak demand. So
that was a polite and diplomatic way of asking if there won't be any load shedding this winter.
I can't make an absolute statement. So then the one thing I don't want to do is to lie to the South African public.
Mm-hmm.
So we're anticipating that Eskom released its winter outlook. So if we were to perform our plausible scenario, is that if 14,000 megawatts unplanned failures, so essentially 14,000 megawatts out of the grid, that's our base case. If we maintain that, we achieve 14,000 megawatts, even with the peak demand of winter, you are not going to have any load shedding.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a sense so that there's an appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
As I speak to you now, I think over the past month or so, we are now at about 12,000 megawatts. So 2,000 megawatts better than what we use as a base case scenario. So a bit more conservative. Yeah? And then we said there's a middle case scenario. If you take the 14,000 megawatts that we think you'll lose, and then you add another 1,500, you're simply saying I'm going to lose 15,500 megawatts. At
100%.
Peak, we're going to get to stage two load shedding. The worst case scenario, you take that 14,000 and you say, I'm going to, in addition to that 14,000, I'm going to lose an additional 3,000. You are at 17,000, so you are going to get to stage five. We don't think that you'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
As I speak to you consistently, we are at 12,000 megawatts. If we maintain that, then we are fine. Because remember, our base case scenario is that keep that number at 14,000, then you won't have load shedding.
100%.
Yeah, but that doesn't communicate the fact that you have not achieved conditions of energy security. What do I mean by that? The economy has to grow.
Yes.
So remember, the short term is to reduce the intensity, frequency, eliminate load shedding. Mm-hmm. But we need to create additional generation capacity to allow for additional investments for the economy to grow.
Seems
and perhaps
like
I can say one or two things about what is it that we'll be doing. That
and that's the part that I am excited about, because as you say, it's not just the adequate maintenance of the current and existing power stations from a coal point of view, but we also have renewable energy that's come on board. But distribution has been the
bad thing, from what I understand, especially when it comes to municipalities.
And you've raised some concerns here about the lack of adequate infrastructural maintenance. So help us contextualize the major challenge within distribution, because generation seems to be working well, but getting this across to businesses and households still remains a challenge.
Absolutely correct. Maybe just to say to the listener, the ecosystem you generate at the power station, you convey those electrons on the freeways. The freeways, we call them the transmission. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to a point where it off-ramps and then it gets into your house. That's the distribution. So we find that a lot of municipalities now are illiquid. They are not financially sustainable. Mm-hmm. The revenue base have been eroded as a result of objective and subjective factors, but principally an economy that is not performing. They are losing a lot of rate payers, so they can't sustain themselves. And as a result, they are not able to replace infrastructure that is aging, your transformers, your substation.
Yes.
Of course, some of them are as a result of overloading. Mm-hmm. So it's in yoga, illegal connections. Mm. So they place a heavy weight on this infrastructure. It's not designed to carry that. And then its own protection, it just explodes. When it explodes, the municipalities don't have the money to replace it.
True.
And that's why, Cooks, we're having a lot of communities as I crisscross the country. Mm-hmm. Look, you say we don't have load shedding, but we haven't had electricity for the past 6 months.
Mm.
And indeed, here's a transformer that has failed. So we're working on that with municipalities and SALGA in particular. Mm. I think there's a general admission that
local
the municipalities, local government, organized local government, because we want a whole solution for local government. I mean, these are challenges that are even confronting metropolitan municipalities. Now, if you have big metros, big economies, are unable to replace this failing infrastructure, you can imagine what happens with a local municipality in Fuleni, Makhali City, to mention but a few here in Gauteng. So it requires a specific intervention on how best we can work with municipalities to help on the distribution side. But it's our obligation.
Yes.
But we can't fold our arms and say it's their obligation. We need to work with them, assist them in designing that solution on how best to ensure that you protect the financial interests of municipalities and 100%. Make it possible for them to meet their constitutional obligations.
Definitely. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with the Minister, Jose Nzura Mokopa, who joins us in studio, Minister of Electricity, to give us some insight into an update on the state of the grid, especially ahead of the elections. We just have to quickly pay our bills, so we'll take these brief adverts. But if you have any questions or key themes you'd like to address with the Minister, do share your voice notes on 063-688-0959 before we get to 8. We are still in conversation with the Minister of Electricity, Dr. Jose Ntu Ramakgopa, who joins us now to give us some insight into the state of the grid before the elections, and of course, overall an update, because life does need to continue after the 29th of May. And as we've heard, all the necessary plans and processes are in place to ensure that there's a heightened level of sustainability. Minister, before we went to the ad break, we were discussing the concerns around municipalities as well as infrastructure failure. We know that this fundamentally does speak to a requirement of capital to ensure that the infrastructure can not only be maintained, but also, where necessary, upgraded to ensure actual efficiency. As you've highlighted, municipalities are illiquid, largely because of a lack of compliance from citizens who actually pay the necessary fees and tariffs. I'm keen for us to venture into the conversation around the fee structure of electricity in South Africa. Some have been critical to say electricity is too cheap in the country, we're not paying enough. NERSA itself has come to the fore to implement the necessary increases that we've seen, which are really above inflation. But coupled with that, we also need to have a concerted effort to bring about consumer camaraderie in paying for the services that are delivered to us. How are we managing that dynamic under your portfolio?
Well, the first thing is just an appreciation that, these are the administered prices in relation to the tariff, electricity tariff,
mm-hmm.
takes into account the cost. It must be cost reflective. So for as long as we are relying on expensive fuel sources to generate electricity, someone has to carry that, and ultimately is the end consumer. And that's why it's important that we must get rid of the use of diesel as your fuel source. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, just to give you a sense, per kilowatt hour you spend 5.80 if you use diesel as a fuel source. If you had to use gas, is 1.45 kilowatt hour.
Ooh.
Coal is 58 cent. Mm. Nuclear is 45 cent.
Mm.
So, and hydro is even significantly cheaper.
That takes us to a whole nother conversation about the energy mix in the country,
and
which we'll get to.
And then, yes, you are absolutely right. And then remember that municipalities relies on an additional surcharge for them to generate revenue. I mean, just to give you a sense, I mean, in my experience as the executive mayor of Tshwane, up to 35% of our income is generated from an additional church sector. So a NERSA approves the tariffs, and then we also make an application on the top of that tariff. We want to charge X more in lieu of the infrastructure for distribution reticulation. Mm-hmm. And that additional income that we make is the one that we use to build your roads, clinics, and reticulate the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big source of municipal income. Now, if you have your energy-intensive users who are going alternative solutions, putting solar PV behind the meter intervention, you are simply left with people who can genuinely afford. I'm talking about pensioners, the unemployed, those who are sitting on your indigent register, and you are sitting with delinquent rate payers. So I'm talking of those who can afford but choose not to pay.
Mm.
So essentially there's a diminishing revenue base, and therefore you don't have a significant amount of capital to reinvest in maintaining that infrastructure and also providing other social services. And that's why you're seeing the decay you're seeing.
Yes.
When you see it, potholes, municipalities simply don't have that money because of the challenges I've just mapped. So it's important that the first one is a resolution of a bigger question, is the economic performance, so that people are not out of employment. And then the second one is for municipalities to ensure that they protect these revenue streams. And one of the things we're working on with COCTA is to create solutions where municipalities see themselves as generators of electricity.
Gotcha.
So a distributed grid, also solar PV and the likes, so that they get to sell that on to the energy-intensive users, and they don't have to rely on Eskom.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they are ring-fencing that revenue base, and they are able to reinvest it back into the economy. But the current model, there's one thing you are guaranteed. What is it? That you are going to see exponential failure of municipalities. They will not be able to perform their constitutional obligation.
Mm.
And that's a genuine observation, including those that are grant dependent, your local municipalities, because it's their share of the national race, the fund, the collection by ASARS. The more it contracts, it means that the rent value of their share is also smaller. And in fact, they don't have a revenue base to generate their own income. They rely on drawdowns from national government. So there's a crisis that's confronting us. So as we resolve one, there's unintended consequences. And that's why our articulation is that now that you are resolving the generation side, let's find a much more sustainable solution to resolve the challenges faced with municipalities. Otherwise, you are going to sit with these problems.
100%. What you're raising here, Minister, makes me want to take this conversation to the overall environment that we see in terms of leadership, in terms of governance, and adequate structures and plans that we can implement in South Africa. We can't ignore the fact that we are headed to the polls at the end of this month.
Yes,
regardless of what the outcome will be, it's not necessarily the politics we need to focus on, but the policies.
Yes.
And I'm keen to understand, perhaps wearing your PhD hat as a concerned citizen in South Africa, what it is that you need, what you believe we need to focus on in order to drive the sustainability of our municipalities and their financial success, the viability of the ability to generate and distribute electricity, and how that in itself then creates ecosystems within our local governments and provincial spaces that leads to a thriving economy.
I think, Cooks, you hit the nail on the head. I think for me, the first focus is on the leadership question. In addition, so when I say leadership in its totality, so I'm not just talking about the political leadership, even at an administrative level. I think the professionalization of public service will be important, and merit-based appointments. Once you resolve those, I think you are halfway through. Of course, there are other policy questions that requires attention. Whether the model of financing local government is sustainable, it's a big question that must be answered. So there are policy questions, but I want to argue that the principal point is that the leadership across the political and administrative, there's misalignment and misallocation of the skills. Mm. So you find someone, a PhD in social sciences, and not that there's something wrong with social sciences, is a head of engineering services. He or she could be a head of community services, if you like.
100%.
So it's that those challenges that you are sitting with. And then they manifest themselves in the failure of local authorities in particular. I'm mentioning that because the failure of local authorities are very apparent. It's in your face, the closest form of government to the people, but it's across the three spheres of government. Mm-hmm. Once you resolve that, I think you are halfway through. I'm not suggesting that you would have resolved the problem. It's not a panacea, but it's a starting point.
100%. The beauty about your background as well, I recall interacting with you when you were mayor of Tshwane a few years ago, and now seeing the growth and the transition and the connecting of the dots of how national policy does filter down, as you say, to the frontier of where and how we interact as South Africans. I'm keen to get your observations, and again, speaking as a concerned South African citizen, as to the importance that we also actively participate as alternative and additional stakeholder groups. It's one thing for government to create the environment, but business certainly needs to come on board, civil society as well, and your observations on that note.
So I think that the largesse, if you like, the generosity of the state, I think the South African citizen almost expects government to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gotten to a stage where there's a state of neglect. People are not exercising their agency. We can do as we wish. I mean, let's take the electricity space. The amount of illegal connections and the fact that people are not reporting, we have normalized that. So when local authority comes to disconnect, in fact, they get to be attacked. I mean, that's the levels we have descended to. And I think that that community activism, re-education, I think is just stretching it, but just an appreciation that we have a role to play, a contribution to make. I think it's important. I mean, the idea that the state has got limitless, infinite resources has been found to be untrue. So we can see now with the shortening of the fiscal runway, the fiscal headspace doesn't exist anymore. So it's important that you must rethink and reprioritize. And that can undermine the ability of the state to provide a social wage.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we work together with communities to address this. And then there's business. I think it's got an obligation. So the business is sitting, big business, or big pools of money, there's significant liquidity there. And I think there are areas that are emblematic of what can be achieved. I mean, the work we have done on the Lebalele Water User Program in Limpopo, where you have a concentration of mining activity that is exploiting rare earth minerals, the PGMs, minerals of the future. But you also have communities that they don't have access to clean, potable water. But the state doesn't have the sufficient resources to build the infrastructure to provide that social infrastructure to the poor. So we come together. Business says, no, I see the ticket, about 7 billion, will carry about 60% of that. Mm-hmm. The state will then invest another 40%. That 40% takes care of the social needs, the poor. You are able to reticulate clean, potable water. And then the business, it's about a narrow existential interest. They need water to continue to exploit those resources. So once you come together, it's a sweet spot. So it's a win-win solution. So it's a symbiotic relationship. So what is the point I'm making? There's a template that can be used and exported to other areas on the generation of electricity, inefficiencies at the port, working with private sector without necessarily privatizing that space. Let me emphasize.
Okay.
The state is still having ownership, but you are using private sector liquidity through creative financing and ownership, financing instruments, and the asset still remains part of the state balance sheet, but we are able to protect the interest of those who have put their money. Over a period of time, they exit. That asset is wholly owned by the state. So I'm saying that those private sector, yes, and then and communities can play an important role.
100%. Minister, we appreciate your time this evening. We've taken it over just after 8 o'clock, but really appreciative of your time and hoping that your portfolio will still be relevant post the elections. I know you often say you serve at the pleasure of the president. Well, let's hope that we continue to see you follow through with your role.
Thanks to you and the listeners.
Thank you so much. That's the Minister of Electricity, Dr. Kgosietso Ramokgopa, who's joined us this evening to give us an update on the grid in South Africa. Yes, it comes at a pertinent time as we are heading to the polls, but as you've heard, very clear, concise action plan that has been developed to make sure that there's growth, advancement, and sustainability in electricity generation and distribution in South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.